إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة وجاهد في الله سبحانه وتعالى حق جهاده. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, when we look at the youngsters of our community, especially the teenagers, we see in them and with them those things that pleases us, and we see those things that displease us. And in both instances, the things that we see that pleases us and what we see that does not please us, a result of it is shared from both sides, the responsibility of it. What pleases us comes as a result of what the parents are doing and what the children are doing as well. They should be praised and thanked. And what displeases us is not all the fault or the responsibility of the children. It's the fault and the responsibility of the parents. So both sides share in the equation. This, inshallah, will be the last khutbah before our children go back to school after the summer break. So we thought it would be beneficial, inshallah ta'ala, to give today's nasiha. As it relates to your children, on a daily basis, I'm in contact with them, and we're always taking the opportunity to teach them about this deen. The importance of taking al-Islam seriously. The importance of the imminent meeting with Allah. The reality of death as it relates to youngsters. That they are not promised to live a long life. We take the time out to tell them the importance of pure Islam. The Kitab and the Sunnah. According to the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. And how the Kitab and the Sunnah tells them to respect their elders. And how the Kitab and the Sunnah tells them to be productive and not to be problematic or ashabul mashakil on their family. We tell them this in your absence because that's the deen and that's the haq that you have upon us and that's the haq that they have upon us. The problem as it relates to advice and nasiha is we don't get to see the fathers of those children that often. So I said today will be the day that I advise the fathers as it relates to their children, especially the teenagers from amongst them. And we're at a critical time right now in that our children have completed their GCSE. And there are those from amongst them who did better than we expected. And there are those who didn't do so good. Those who were successful, we say, Barakallahu lakum wa barakallahu fikum. Congratulations, you did a good job. Those who didn't do so well, we say, all is not lost. When you die and you stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's not going to ask you about that certificate or that degree. And how many people do we know they are carriers of PhDs? And they are the worst of the people, from the kuffar and from the Muslims. So even though you may have been slacking and you didn't cut the grade because you were playing or something other than that, we still say all is not lost. The sky is the limit as long as you're young, inshallah, and you hold on to this deen. So you fathers, there are four points of advice that we want to mention. And to the mothers of these children, especially as it relates to the teenagers. Since the grandfathers of these children, your father, or maybe you chose to bring your family to this country, and you're living in this country, You have to come to grips with the reality that this country and society is going to have an impact upon your children. And you cannot be like the ostrich who puts his head in the ground and he doesn't want to recognize that. And he wants his child to behave and to treat him and everyone else the way he feels he should be treated in the old country, the way he was brought up. This is a country where the culture is the me culture. Me, 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 I. So your child is going to ask you, I want the most expensive trainer. I want the latest fashion and clothes. And I don't care how much it costs you, Abi or Ummi. That's the me culture. You brought him here. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about living with the kuffar. La tatara'a naruhuma. The fire of the kafir and the fire of the Muslim, it does not coexist. Someone is going to affect and impact on the other. So the reality is, they are here. And that's not because of their choice. So I'm not judging anyone and I'm not blaming anyone. I'm saying come to grips with what Rasulullah said. From the signs of the hour, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, and tarid al-ama rabbataha. You will see the slave girl giving birth to her master. The child will become like the father or the mother, and the mother and the father will become like the child. They have to listen to what the child says. It's from the Ashratu Sa'a. So now that they're here, this culture is telling our children, you are an individual, and you have a right to be recognized. You should not be treated like an individual who doesn't exist. The culture is forced upon you. Decisions are made for you all the time, and they may not be in your best interest. The child simply wants the parent to recognize, I am a human being. Recognize me as such. Stop treating me as if I don't exist. What you want for me and what you plan for me, that's what's executed. Maybe I don't want to be a doctor. Maybe I don't want to marry him or her. Maybe I don't want this, I don't want that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it's been authentically collected in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he went to the home of one of the companions, and the companion, the host, gave him a bowl of milk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with a number of his other companions. He took the milk, he drank from his portion. And then he wanted to give the rest to the companion. He looked on his right, there was a young man, a ghulam, younger and smaller than our teenagers, a little boy. And to his immediate left was Abu Bakr, and Khalid ibn Walid, and Umar and Uthman, and the Kibaru Qawm. Rasulullah said to that little boy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَتَأْذِنْ أَنْ أُعْتِيَ هَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ نَصِيبِكَ فَقَالَ الْوَلِدْ لَا وَاللَّهِ لَا أُوْثِرُ بِنَصِيبِ مِنْكَ أَحَدًا. Rasulullah said to the little boy, I seek permission from you. I ask you, ya little boy, would you allow me to give to the elders? You have a right, you have a haq, you're on my right, I should start with you. But I'm seeking permission, and I'm Rasulullah. I'm asking you, would you allow me to give to those people? They're elder than you, they're bigger than you. The little boy exercised his right, and he said, Wallahi, no. I will not give preference to anyone as it relates to my right, as it relates to you. So Rasulullah gave the little boy the milk. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do an issue like that, ikhwan, it shows up. It's from the haq of the child, it's from the haq of your teenager, and certain issues make the boy feel as if he means something. What do you think was the impact psychologically of that child when he realized in the society, Rasulullah in front of all of those people recognized his existence? You mean something. He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught this in too many examples. Time does not allow. But there are some things that we don't ask our children for their advice, or we should not ask them for their permission because they're not experienced. But even in those things, the way to deal with them is that we should, when we see these kids going astray, do a better effort of trying to accommodate them and work with them. And Imam al-Nasa'i brought in his book of hadith on the authority of Qais ibn Abbas, who was from the Tabi'een. Qais said, بينما أنا في المسجد أصلي في صف المتقدم إذ جاءني رجل من خلفي فجذبني جذبة فقام مقامي والله ما أقلت من صلاتي شيئا فلما انتهى الإمام فإذا هو أبي بن كعب فقال لي أبي يا فتى لا يسوك الله إن هذا أهد النبي أهده إلينا أن اليهو Qais ibn Abbas, he said, one day I was in Prophet Muhammad's masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I was praying with the people in the first row. And then a man came and he pulled me out of the first row and got in my place and pushed me back. He said, Wallahi, I did not understand anything about my prayer. I was not concentrating. The man broke my prayer and he was a fitna. But he remained patient because that's the deen. Someone is older than you, be patient. He was quiet and patient. He said after the salat, the man turned around and it was Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu. Ubay ibn Ka'b said, oh young boy, oh young man, do not become upset. But this is what Allah's Messenger ordered me to do, to always get behind the Imam in the salat. Rasulullah said to the Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, استقر القرآن من أربع من ابن مسعود ومن سالم مولى أبي حذيفة ومن أبي بن كعب ومعاذ ابن جبل. He told this Ummah, take the Quran from four men. They are the most prolific. They are the ulama of my companions in the Quran. Learn the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and from Salim, the free slave of Abu Hudayfa, and from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and from Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So whenever Rasulullah wanted to pray, he would say, where's Ubay? Come forth, and Ubay would get there. Or the people would move over and they would let Ubay get there. So the point is, that man who was in the prayer, he made it to the masjid before Ubay. He had every right. But since Rasulullah told Ubay, whenever you pray, you get behind the imam. Now that man doesn't have a right anymore because of what Rasulullah said to Ubay. But despite that, Ikhwan, do you not see how Ubay talked to the boy, explained to the boy? He could have said, Rasulullah said about me, take the Quran. I'm older than you. I was with Rasulullah. You're just a tabi'i. He didn't do that. He said, may Allah not make you upset. Don't get upset, oh little man. But this is what Rasulullah told me to do. And then the boy is not going to have a problem because it's from the deen. So the point, Ikhwan, is we have to recognize these kids. And we have to recognize their efforts. The relative may come to your home. The home is your home and the room of your boy is your home. It's your room, it's your house. But your uncle, his cousin, your aunt, the grandmother is going to come to live in the home. He doesn't have a right to say, I don't want this. But it will be nice and it will be appreciated by him if you only let him know what was going to happen. Now we move on to the next point that is just as important, if not more important. And that is, as it relates to our youth, especially the teenagers, the fathers and the mothers have to do a better job at praising your children. The one who always says to his child, you're no good, you are not successful, you are a bum, you are a failure, I see no good from you, he will create and plant the seed of negativity in the heart and the mind of his child, and he won't succeed. Praising the child is from al-Islam. He received his driver's license, barakallahu fika. He got good grades, we're going to give you a party. He did something, we're going to thank him and praise him for what he did. He didn't do as well as we wanted him to do or expected, but still we're going to give him a party because of the effort that we saw him put in. The work that he put in. You did a great job, son. There's that individual who he grew up from amongst us. His father never said to him once, you did a good job, son. He lived his life like that. Because our culture, many of the Muslims' culture is, a man has to be rough and tough and strong. And he can't cry. And he can't kiss his son. And he can't hug his son. And he can't be affectionate to his son. Be strong. Be a man. There's an individual who Allah described in the Quran that our children believe they're that individual. He said in the Quran, وَدَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ أَهَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي هُوَ أَوْ مَنْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدَلِ وَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah gives a similar to an example of two men. One man, he is upcome. He's dumb, stupid, an imbecile. He's an idiot. That's what Allah called him, an upcome. He's dumb. He is a difficult problem upon his guardian, his mother, his father, his master. He is a fitna upon the one who's responsible for him. No matter where he turns him, he doesn't bring any good. Is he equal to the one who orders with good and he's on the Sirat al-Mustaqim? Is he equal to the one who is in your home, who does good in the grave, never gets in trouble? They're not the same. What some of our children believe, because we never praise them, that they're from the second one. And they may not be from the second one. I heard with my own ears that Allah has created and connected to my head that one of the fathers mentioned in front of his oldest son, who doesn't have a beard, who doesn't come to the masjid. He said, I used to send this one to the masjid, and look at him, he's a failure now. He does nothing but drive a taxi. There are those who drive taxis are from the happiest people. They're from the su'ada. And there are those who are successful in this dunya, and they're from the ashqiya. He does nothing, he's a failure. So I want you to take care of this other younger son. He said that in front of the older son. Called him a failure. Is that from the deen of al-Islam? I see why he doesn't want to practice the religion. So we should praise our children. There is a companion, her name is Ummu Sulaym. She understood this. When Rasulullah made it to Medina, Ummu Sulaym brought her son, Anas ibn Malik. She said in front of her son, Ya Rasulullah, inna Anasan, zakiyun wa muti'un. Verily my boy Anas is smart and he's obedient. Let him take care of you, Ya Rasulullah. I give him to you. She put her son with the sheikh, with the alim, with the Nabi of Allah. And as a result, he grew up knowing all of the secrets of the household, the sunnah of what he used to do for tahajjud. The boy heard what her mother said about him. He's smart. He's obedient. He's a good kid. Rasulullah understood as well. So he took care of Anas for 10 years. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Anas ibn Umar qala, khadamtu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 sanin. فما قال أف لي قط وما قال لي شيء فعلته لماذا فعلته ولا لي شيء لم أفعله لماذا لم أفعله. He said, I took care of Rasulullah for 10 years in Medina. I was his khadam. And he never said to me, Uff, one time. And nor did he say in 10 years for something that I did, why did you do that? And for something I didn't do, why didn't you do that? For 10 years. And all we say to our son is, you're no good, you're a failure, you didn't do anything, and then we wonder why the kid doesn't want to pray. And we wonder why we have to go and get him out of the jail. We wonder because you don't praise the child. Which brings us to the next most critical point. And that is a point that comes to us from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسَفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِسَائِلِينَ إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسَفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَإِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ اقْتُلُوا يُوسَفَ أَوْ اطْرَحُوا أَرْضًا يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Verily you have in Joseph, verily you have in Yusuf, ayat for the one who asks. The one who wants to know how to be a good father or a good mother, you have in the story of Yusuf and his brothers a good sign. When Yusuf's brother said, early Yusuf and his brother Benjamin, they're more beloved to our father Yaqub than the Nabi of Allah. They're more beloved to him than we are.
Even though we are a strong band, a large group of people, verily our Father is clearly astray. Our Father who gave birth to us and took care of us is in Dalalum Mubin. That's what the child said to me. Your child said to me, two kalima, that won't cause the heart to be ripped in part, but it will cause the kidney to become dry. It's a sad word. Word number one. Wallahi, when I get older, I will not ever have children and treat them the way my father treats me. The second kalima that your child said was, I don't know if I'm my father's son because of the way he treats me in comparison to the other kids. In the story of Yosef, Ikhwan is a sign. It shows us point number three from the advice. And that point is, we have to be careful about making distinctions between our children. Showing our older children how much we love the younger children. Someone may ask, is it permissible, is it from the deen, to love a child over another child? Wallahi, this is permissible. And most of us fall into this. Most human beings love one child over the other children. There's nothing wrong with that. Yaakov loved Yusuf and his brother Binyamin. Why? He loved Yusuf because Rasulullah said about him, Utiya Yusuf Shatr al-Jamal. Yusuf was given half of the beauty in this dunya that human beings have. Yusuf has half of that. And he was obedient. He loved Binyamin because he was the youngest. He was obedient. So the human beings are like that. The man loves the child because he is the smallest. He loves the child because this is the child that his first wife gave birth to and she died as a result of that. And now he's married to the second wife who is not as religious as the first wife. So that child reminds him of that first wife and her taqwa and her deen. A lot of reasons why he loves one child over the other. This is permissible. You will not be able to be just and fair between your women if you have more than one, even if you try. Meaning, you will love one more than the other. They asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, who's the most beloved person to you? He said, Aisha. And Aisha used to get jealous of Khadija radiallahu anha. Every time he slaughtered an animal, Khadija would get upset because he would give some of the animal to the friends of Khadija. Rasulullah was asked by his wife, Aisha, the most beloved, why do you do that? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni ruziqtu hubbaha. Allah gave me the risk. Allah put the love of Khadija in my heart. So it's permissible. But it's not permissible to show the child who is not your favorite how much you love the child who is your favorite. And usually it's the youngest one from amongst us. The youngest one from the children is the one who gets that special treatment. Now the teenager, he doubts the love of his parents for him because of the way they deal with the younger one. Do not make these distinctions. And Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is my son, and Nu'man. I gave him as a gift a garden, and his mother orders me to come to you to bear witness of the garden, so that the other wives will see that the mother is high, and her son is high. Rasulullah asked Bashir radiallahu anhu, I take to sa'ir waladik mithla hadha. Did you give all of your children like you gave to this boy? He said, no. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqullah. Ittaqullah wa'adilu fi awladikum. Washhid ghayri alayhi fa inni la ushhid ala jaw. Oh, you people, fear Allah. Fear Allah and be fair and just between all of your children. Now go and get someone else to bear witness because I do not bear witness. I will not make the shahada on oppression. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The last point that we want to make in advising this community, Ikhwan, in advising the mothers and the fathers, is the point about the need to defend our children. And I only can deal with one aspect of the defense that they are in need of. To defend your child. To let your child know. At home he has a mother and a father. In his community he has a group of uncles and brothers. If something happens and his haq is taken away from him in school, or his haq is tread upon in the street, he has a group of people who are going to come to his defense. This was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not leave his children, nor did he leave the children of the companions to fend for themselves in this dunya. He was there for them. He came out and got on the minbar and told the people, it has come to my attention that Abu Jahl's daughter, they want to marry Abu Jahl's daughter to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi la adhan, thumma la adhan, thumma la adhan. Innaha badatun minni. Yuribuha ma ara, yuribuni ma arabaha, wa yu'zini ma adhaha. He said, I will not allow Ali to marry the daughter of the enemy of Allah. Why? Because Fatima is a piece of me. What hurts her, hurts me. What annoys her, annoys me. If she's married to Ali, and she's married to the enemy of Allah's daughter, when the enemy of Allah's daughter becomes jealous and she gets upset, she's going to say something bad about the father of Fatima. She's going to be a fitna for the deen of Fatima. He said, I don't allow it. He came in the public and told them, I'm going to defend my daughter and her deen. Usama ibn Zayd, his father Zayd ibn Haritha, was the free slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Zayd had Usama, Rasulullah looked at Usama the way he looked at Hassan al-Hussein, like a grandson. Usama was of dark complexion. His mother was dark and his father was a light Arab. And the munafiqeen and the kuffar used to throw suspicion upon the mother of Usama. And it used to hurt Rasulullah. At the end of his death, at the end of his life, he chose Usama to be the leader of the army that he was sending out. Some of the Arabs started to say, how is this black boy who's only 17, 18 years old, how is he going to be the leader over us? We're Arabs and we're older. How is this? In the army was Abu Bakr, Khalid ibn Walid, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Ali ibn Abi Talib. The boy was 17 years old. When the news came to Rasulullah about what they said, he came out to the masjid and he gathered the people up and he said, Ta'antum fi abihi min qabl. Wa wallahi innahu la khaliqun al-amara. You people criticized his father before this. His father is a free slave. His father married a black woman. You criticized his father and now you criticize him. Wallahi, this boy has been created to be a leader over you. What do you think that did to the mind and the conscience of Usama ibn Zayd? That Rasulullah would come to those Arabs and tell them, yes, he's 17, but he's been created to be over you. He defended the boy in front of the community. And there are too many examples, ikhwan. Too many examples. But we want just to focus upon what happens in school. One of those kuffar teachers says to our Muslim son, you are a terrorist, you're Usama bin Laden number two. Says to our Muslim daughter, our sister, our niece, why are you wearing those clothes, you're backwards. Makes an inappropriate statement about our deen. That child comes home, that child has to know they can come home. And the shura of our masjid is going to that school. And her father and his brothers are going to that school. And the imam of the masjid is going to that school to let those people know, you don't talk to our daughters and sons like that. We want something done with this teacher. We have to defend our kids. Not just give them up to the school. The teacher doesn't know that the child has a father at home because they don't see the father all year round. And then the father's upset when he doesn't do good on his GCSEs. Where were you, Ahi, to go to the lady at the school to ask, what's going on with my son? What's going on with my daughter? Why weren't you in the equation? You're part of the problem. Don't put all of the responsibility on the child. We brought him here. The system is against him, against his deen. We have to give them more support. We have to defend them. And I end with this statement. If a child from another masjid If one of the kuffar made an inappropriate statement about his daughter or his son from another masjid, the shura here should go to the school because this is our deen. We're not going to be like those people who, if it's not from our masjid, it doesn't concern us. If it's not from our group, we won't pray over them. What Islam is that? May the curse of Allah be upon that kind of Islam. Not upon that individual, but the one who understands Islam like that. May Allah curse that jahiliyyah. We're going to say, let's go to the school, brothers, and deal with this, what has happened to our Muslim brother from another home, from another side of the town, from another masjid. The Muslims will never ever get anywhere with this type of thinking. Those people are a barrier to the movement of Islam, this ignorance, racism. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of you sit there in that audience and say, oh, he is not being sensitive to our culture. He wants us to change our whole culture. Nah, I'm saying you're in this country, you better realize one of the reasons our children are the way they are is because we brought them here. So we have to realize the reality of their environment. I'm not saying that the child should always be prayed to and we make sajda and ruku for that child. No. But what I am saying is we have to try another way. We demand from them respect, but also in demanding from them respect, we have to work with our kids. We have to support our kids. We have to make them feel as if they have a place. They are someone. They want to get married, ask her first. The hadith says that. Wal bikr tustazen. And the virgin girl is asked for her permission. She's someone. She has something to say. Leave it up to her to say yes or no. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal bil ismi al-a'mal a'zam an yuwaffiqna bima yuhibbu wa yardah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Aqim as-salat yarhamakum Allah.